We're continuing our series and we've sort of reached Romans 14, 15 and we're going to be delving into that. But I just want to, on this Palm Sunday, approach it from a slightly different way, but it'll be helpful if you have the Bible for some context in you, because I simply want to ask a question of us as a church and maybe a question of you as an individual. And the question on this Palm Sunday, I want to simply ask, are we a Palm Sunday church or a Pentecost church? Are we a Palm Sunday Christian or a Pentecost Christian? What I mean by that is, as we'll explore, as we think of Palm Sunday, we all remember the crowds, no doubt using that psalm from 1 Chronicles 16, hailing Jesus as the coming King, the one who would establish his rule and reign. And they were getting excited, they were rejoicing, they came together and they lifted him up. But within less than a week, this fickle crowd had changed. They'd fallen away. They'd fallen out with each other. It was a moment of great joy and unity and celebration. But it ended showing how fickle they were in their faith. How they so easily fell away at the first sign of trouble or misunderstanding. And how they fell out with each other. And basically the reason that happened is they had a misplaced and wrong view of who Jesus was. They had a misplaced or wrong view of what the people of God were, and they had a misplaced wrong view of how they could find joy. And as we'll see, when we have our wrong view, when our mind is wrong, when we have a wrong understanding of who Jesus is, when we have a wrong understanding who the people of God are, and when we have a wrong understanding of how we can find joy, then we are going to be a Palm Sunday church or a Palm Sunday Christian, and we're going to be fickle, and we're going to fall out, and we're going to fall away, and we're going to be up and down. Whereas if we have a vision of a Pentecost church, a vision of a people filled with the Spirit, understanding a right view of Jesus, understanding a right view of what the church is, and finding a joy in the Spirit, then we have this vision of the church as it should be. The vision, a bit like Martin Luther King, I have a dream of a people coming together, a people living for the glory of God, living as one. This is a vision, this is a dream. And in Romans 15, we see Paul's dream and vision as he writes, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's Paul's dream, that's Paul's vision, that the Pentecost church is a church of one mind and one voice, glorifying God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ together. That was his vision for the people of God. That was his vision for the church at Rome. That was the vision for the churches that he established. That's the vision for the one church of Jesus Christ. And therefore, that was his vision for us, that we may be that Pentecost church, those Pentecost Christians who have one mind and one voice, glorifying God together. And what did that mean? That meant in their worshipping. That meant in their worshipping together, coming together as declaring Jesus to be King. The defiant act of coming together and worshipping Jesus as King with one mind and one voice. That's why I get so het up about people coming to church on a Sunday, because this is our time where we come together with one mind and one voice and say, Jesus is King. Yes, there is chaos in the world. There are lots of other philosophies and practices. There's lots of other things going on. But we, as one people with one voice, are putting our hope, as we've sung together, in Jesus to be the only hope, the one purpose, the one who can heal our nation and our world. Worshipping together, laying our lives, offering our praise and giving thanks to him. But not only is it worshipping together, we see that Paul wrote this letter because he wanted this church to grow. One of the reasons he wrote this letter is he wanted them to support them, as we see in Romans 15, as he went on to Spain to tell other people this good news. And the Pentecost church is not just a worshipping church, it's also a witnessing church. It is a church that is wanting to take this King Jesus and take him to the world, take him that he's the good news, that he is coming again, and he's going to establish his rule and reign of justice and peace. It's taking this message to the people in Ukraine. It's taking this message to people in Russia. It's taking this message to the people in the Middle East, in Africa, in Europe. It's taking this message that this King is coming, and there's good news that the judgment that he would have come, if we put our trust in Jesus, we can know peace and we can be part of this coming kingdom. Not only is this church a worshiping church, it's also a witnessing church, but it's also, can I put it this way, to keep my W's, a walking church. They walk together. Paul says in Romans 15 that before he comes to Rome and then on to Spain, he's first got to go to visit Jerusalem. Why does he have to go and visit Jerusalem? Because he's collected an offering, because there's hardship in Jerusalem, there's been famine, and he wants to bless his brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And so it's a church that is a worldwide church, the one church of Christ, walking together, supporting one another in the tough and the difficult times as we are waiting for Jesus's return, loving one another as brothers and sisters. And so thank you so much for those who've supported the Christian support to Ukraine through BMS, through Tear Fund. Thank you so much. This is one way that we walk together as one church, supporting our brothers and sisters with whatever they face, speaking with one voice. This is the vision of the church. When I do a marriage, I say marriage is God's intention and God's invention of how a man and a woman should live together. The church is God's invention, and it's God's intention of how we should be the people of God relating to him. As I go on to say, it's not to be entered in lightly, without any thought. That's the same with the church. This is the vision of the church. Are we a Palm Sunday church or a Pentecost church? Do you have a vision for the church? Or do you think you can be a Christian on your own? Do you think you can hop from church to church? Do you think you can pick and choose? Paul says, with one mind and one voice, we glorify God together. I have a vision for the church. It is God's intention and invention. It's God's intention and invention on how we should worship. It's God's intention and invention on how we should witness. And it's God's intention and invention of how we should love and care for one another. That's the church. And it's not fickle. It doesn't fall away. It doesn't fall out. But it lasts and will last into eternity. Do you have a dream of the church? But we also recognize, as Paul does here in Romans 14, it'd be lovely to have an easy distinction between a Palm Sunday church and a Pentecost church, but somewhere there is a reality of the church. The church is not all that it should be. It's not simply not a Palm Sunday church, but it's not fully that Pentecost church. The reality of church life is that we live with this tension, with these difficulties, where we don't have that unity and that one mind and that one voice. And there are struggles, there's differences, there's distinctions, and we live with this reality of church. It's not what our vision is of it should be. It's not what simply a Palm Sunday, a falling away. There's something in that middle, that reality of church life. As someone once says, if you find the perfect church, make sure you don't join it. There is a reality. And here Paul in chapter 14 and 15 is dealing with the reality of what church is, with the differences, with the disagreements, with the misunderstandings. But here he is, he holds out to them that vision of being one mind and one voice. And I believe he lays out in one particular verse three things that we need to focus on if we are to move more to a Pentecost church and more away from a Palm Sunday church. There are three things that as individuals and as a church we need to focus on. And it's found in Romans 14, verse 7. No, it's not. Why did I write that down? It's verse 17. I missed the one out. Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, Paul doesn't often talk about the kingdom of God, but here he does, I think, to encompass the whole wide church, the coming kingdom of God, the whole church across the whole world. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I believe if we focus on those three things, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, we'll be moving more towards a Pentecost church and away from the Palm Sunday church, the fickle, falling out, falling away church. We'll be full of that one mind, one voice. And so the first thing, if we want to be that Pentecost church, that vision of the church that Paul outlines, the first thing we need to remember is what we believe matters. What we believe matters. One mind. Mind is where you think. There needs to be one mind. It is about the righteousness. And we need to come to one mind about what that righteousness is of the kingdom of God. And surely, as we come to chapter 14 of Romans, I don't need to spell out what that one mind of that righteousness of God is about. What is it that we believe about the righteousness of God? He's laid out in the first 11 chapters what this righteousness of God is. And we need to be one mind. That's why this is the longest letter ever written of the time, because what we believe matters, and what we believe about the righteousness and righteousness of God matters. And if we want to have one mind and one voice, if we want to be united together, we need to be clear what we understand to be the righteousness of God, which I hope by now the most important thing that you know about the righteousness of God is that it's by faith, by grace through faith. Righteousness that comes by faith. This is the gospel. This is where we have one mind and one voice, that there's a righteousness of God available by grace through faith. That's where we stand. Anyone can be righteous with God by believing in Jesus Christ, believing that God raised him from the dead, confessing that he is their Lord. They will be saved. This is where the Palm Sunday church, as I like to call it, went wrong. They had a misunderstanding of who Jesus was. They had a misunderstanding of how he would save them. They had a misunderstanding. They did not want the cross. They wanted salvation and deliverance and freedom without the cross. But actually, if we want to be that Pentecost church, it's so important that we all believe that a righteousness from God is attained by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's never water down. Let's never compromise. Let us with one mind and one voice speak out the good news of Jesus. That all are welcome. There is a righteousness with God, a right relationship with God to be part of the kingdom that is coming simply by putting faith in Jesus, by confessing with your mouth that he is Lord, and by believing that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I hope you've got that through Romans. And that's why it's such a long letter, because it's so important. We can't misunderstand it. And if we want to be that one church, if we want to be that one voice, we must hold on to that one gospel, the righteousness. But then as we've gone through this letter, we see that that righteousness that is by faith leads to a changed lifestyle, leads to a living that is righteous, that is not sinful. It identifies the things that are of the flesh, that are sin, and it says we put that to death that we may live by the righteousness by faith, by the Spirit of God within us. And so this righteousness of God is about identifying and allowing God's Spirit to lead us away from sin into a right living. And as we look at Romans 14, we see differences within the church. We see arguments over theology in the church. We see that there are the weak and the strong, the weak views and the strong views. But these are not matters over sin or what righteousness is. Verse 1 tells us that these are over disputable matters. Matters that it doesn't really matter, the dialogos moi, the doubtful matters, or as the Reformed speakers would say, adiaphora, the matters of indifference. But these are not matters about righteousness and sin. And we need to be clear that righteousness is by faith in Jesus. But as Paul has told us, particularly in Romans 6, 7 and 8, that righteousness by faith, as we have the Spirit within us, leads us away from sin and leads us to live a righteous life. And so therefore, the reason we have the Bible, the reason we have God's Word, is to help us understand that righteous way of living. And when Paul is talking about these disputable matters, he's not talking about sin and unrighteousness. They are taken. And therefore we come to God's word and we know that Paul, particularly in his letter, is very strong about wrong things, about unrighteous living, about sexual immorality, about greed, about lying, about all these things which aren't disputable. Because the righteousness by faith should live by the power of the Holy Spirit into a righteous living. But then we have these areas of dispute, these matters of indifference. And Paul talks about, except verse 14, except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. And here it's clearly to do with regulations of the Jewish diet, regulations of special days and things like that. These are what he calls the disputable matters. But can I say, I don't want to get into the disputable matters, we can do that another time, but can I say even on the disputable matters, it matters what you believe. This is not saying, you don't have to think through what you believe about these things. Because if we want a unity, if we want one mind and one voice, we need to use our mind and we need to be clear on what the gospel is, we need to be clear on what sin is, and we need to be clear on our views of the disputable matters. Because we read In verse 22, as he ends this chapter about these disputable matters, which were about special religious days and about eating and what you could eat and what you couldn't drink, Paul ends this, verse 22, "So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin." So it matters what we believe. Even in these areas that are so-called disputable. Because what's most important is out that we live from faith. We live from what we believe that God is asking of us. Because that's the most important thing. That we live this right relationship with God, wanting to please him, that he is our Lord. As Paul says, whatever you do for the Lord. Even when you differ, those who differ, they do it for the Lord. They both do it for the Lord, who is the master. Because the most important thing is our whole life should be built on faith. Our whole life should be doing as we're living for Jesus. Now, I don't get everything right. I haven't got all my theology right, as my lecturer in theology says. I know I've got 10% of my theology wrong. He says, the problem is I don't know which 10%. And we're a bit like that. We don't know everything, but actually I need to be convinced in my mind because I want to live a life that pleases Jesus. And he's interested in my faith. And if I do something that I think he doesn't want me to do, that's the problem. Now, I often tell the story of a story I heard of a parent who told me a father used to come home from work and it was cold and he didn't like, it was very cold outside and his little boy was worried about him being cold, coming in from the cold, and he was really worried that his feet would be really cold. So he took his slippers and thought, I'd better warm them up, but not being a young boy, he decided not to put them on the radiator. He thought the oven would be the best place for them. So he warmed them up in the oven. And believe it or not, they burnt. When his dad got home, was he cross with him? Of course not. He was doing it because he loved his father. He was doing it to please his father. And yes, his father may have said, well, next time, that's really thoughtful, but the oven is not the best place. Can you use the radiator next time? There is not that condemnation, because actually our lives as Christians are to please God. And yes, we will get it wrong. But actually what God is interested in is in the faith, the reason that you're doing it. And even if you've got your theology wrong and the reason you're doing it is wrong, that isn't as important on these disputable matters. So what you believe matters. You need to think, you need to pray, you need to think, what is it that is going to please God? That together, as we come together, that we can, with one mind and one voice. The problem some of us have is, how do we distinguish between what is sin and what is a doubtful or disputable matter? And as we come, that is probably one of the hardest areas as our culture changes and adapts. And it's interesting that this issue that Paul was dealing with was probably mainly a cultural issue. Because as I told you, the Jews had been expelled from Rome because of some of these things that they were doing. And they'd only just been allowed to come back. And so there was this cultural aspect to what's going on. Whether you took the view of the Romans or the view of the Jews. And there were cultural things going on. So it's actually a very complicated matter. And in our culture and our society as a church, as we live within that society, one of our difficult things is, how do we distinguish between what's a matter of sin, what's a matter of righteousness, and what's a disputable matter? How do we know that? Well, hopefully, we being see from this letter that Paul was clear. And he, as an apostle, was the one who said and was explaining which was the disputable and which was the righteous issues. And therefore, as Christians, we have to come and recognize that the answer to these questions are found in Scripture. And as we read the apostles, the church is built on the foundations of the apostles with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. We need to think and look at Scripture that it may reveal to us what are the disputable matters and what are the matters of righteousness. And we listen and we try and distinguish and understand. And we turn to God's word and we reflect on what the apostles, what the teaching is of that. But sometimes, again, we get it wrong. Church splits often happen when we separate what is a disputable matter and make it into a matter of sin and righteousness. And that's where you get church splits and different denominations. But ultimately, we need prayerfully try and work out and believe and think through and, yes, discuss and debate and disagree healthily as we base what we believe on Scripture, recognizing the main thing is the main thing, the gospel, that there is sin and righteousness as well, and there are also disputable matters. And we tend need to work that through as we come to Scripture. But what we believe matters. Moving on quickly, secondly, that not only if we want to be that Pentecost church, we need to focus on what we believe, we also need to focus on where we belong. That actually we need to recognize that we have a church. We need to be part of a community. The community here in Rome, which was a very diverse and different community, was actually a community that were committed to following Jesus together. And ultimately, at the heart of the community you want to belong to is the community that wants to please God, to please Jesus in everything. That's the basis of the community, that we come together to live to please Jesus. And yes, we may disagree, we may debate, we may discuss, but underlying it is this understanding that as we live, we want to please God. Whether we, as Paul says here, each of them should be fully convinced, verse 6, in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us die for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This is the church community that comes together and says, I am belonging to a community that wants to please Jesus. And that is the community I am going to commit to. I may disagree with them, I may debate with them, I may discuss with them, but actually that's the foundation. And I will live to be a community that is governed by not righteousness, but peace. A peace within this community that is wanting to please Jesus. A community that says, do not pass judgment on one another. That doesn't mean we can't criticize. It doesn't mean we can't discuss. It doesn't mean we can't disagree and debate. But it does mean we can't pass judgment. Because they are wanting, we are all wanting to live to please Jesus. Verse 19 talks about, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That's why it's important where we belong. Belong to a church that wants to live to please Jesus, that wants to maintain peace, to not pass judgment, but work together to live for Jesus, but also to build each other up in the faith. And it's not about being fickle with that community. It's not falling out when they disagree or falling away where they don't agree with everything I think. It's about coming together in peace. building that community of love and peace, wanting to live for Jesus and wanting to build each other up and being committed to that type of church. But finally, we read a matter of righteousness, peace. And where I really want to end and felt the Lord want me to end today is, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because if I am honest, you are here this morning or on Zoom because you really know what you believe. You believe the gospel. You wouldn't be here under my ministry if you didn't believe in the gospel and sin and wanting to live to please Jesus and wanting to be at peace with one another. But where we perhaps struggle most is finding the joy in the Holy Spirit. Because not only what you believe matters, not only where you belong matters, but where you find joy matters. Where you find joy matters. The Palm Sunday church fell apart because they thought they would find joy in being released from the Romans. They thought they'd find joy if the people of God, the Israelites, could come back and rule and reign in their own land. They thought they could find that joy if they were free, if they were politically free. They didn't understand, which a lot of Christians don't understand, that joy is not something external. It's something that fills you. It is the joy of the Holy Spirit. And joy comes from the Christian, not from having an easy life, not from having our prayers answered as we want them answered. It's not having God do what we think he should do. It's not in being right all the time. It's not in everyone agreeing with me. It's not in actually any of these things. The joy of the Christian is found in the Holy Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote a great book, I wish probably this probably should change its title now, called Spiritual Depression. And this idea that the church has lost its witness and its power because Christians have lost their joy. They are spiritually depressed. They're spiritually struggling. They're spiritually thinking that God isn't with them or God doesn't love them or God doesn't care for them. They're living in a way that they feel spiritually they are not rejoicing. And I believe his book, as I'll change the title so we don't get confuse it with depression that is a medical condition. But there is this spiritual heaviness, can I put it, that most Christians walk around with because they have not found where their joy comes. They're spiritually heavy because they say God hasn't answered my prayer. They're spiritually heavy because they say I'm still struggling at work or at home or in my relationship or that God hasn't heard my prayers. If God would only do that, then I'd be happy, then I'd be blessed. If God would heal me, if God would do that or this. If God was my slot machine, that if I just ask, it would happen, I would be joy. But that's not the Pentecost church. The Pentecost church is where there's persecution, where there's martyrdom, where there's poverty, where there's famine, where there's injustice. There is still joy. There is still joy. In Ukraine, the greatest Christian witness is my brothers and sisters are still coming on a Sunday. They're still worshipping. They're still caring. And they're still full of joy of the Holy Spirit. the greatest witness to our community is that we're full of joy. Not because our life are easier than anyone else. Not because we don't have the same issues, we don't have the same mental health, we don't have the same physical health issues, but we have the joy of the Holy Spirit. People sometimes ask me, why does God not heal all his people? Don't know the answer. But my guess is, if God answered all our prayers and healed us and we had no mental health, no children problems or nothing, the world will look at us and say, that's why they're happy. They've got no problems. They don't have ill health. They don't have mental health. They don't have financial difficulties. They don't have family issues. I don't know, but my guess is that we go through that so that within that, we can still have the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I can still come on a Sunday morning, despite some of the weeks some of us have had, and we can be still full of joy. Because it's not dependent on out there. It's dependent on the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need to be a Pentecost church. A church that we believe in the gospel. What we believe does matter. This book is important to us. We will study it. We will discuss it. We will debate it. Not for debate in itself, but because we want to live for Jesus. And we want to live that as community. A community of peace, of edification, of learning how to disagree on the things that don't matter. But most importantly, we need to be a Spirit-filled church where the joy of the Lord fills me. Where the Spirit of God fills me. Do you know joy this morning? Do you know the joy of the Lord this morning? Do you know the gospel? Are you at peace with your brother and sister? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? With the joy that comes from him. That can only come as we move from Palm Sunday. We understand the cross. We understand the resurrection. We understand the coming again of Jesus. But we understand Pentecost. That in this broken, fallen world, the Holy Spirit comes on his people and fills them with joy. What I love is when the church doors are open, the windows are open, and this church is worshipping as I know it can and as it should. And I love standing here, and I love seeing people walking past the church. Sometimes I wish they weren't when we're all sad and down and struggling, but when we're worshipping, when we're shouting, when people look at us, they look in. That a witness on a Sunday morning where I could be playing golf or playing football or cleaning the house or having fun with the kids or studying or doing whatever. I am not. I am here because I know what I believe. I'm within this community and I'm finding the joy of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you. This is what it is. I'm not quite yet a Pentecost Christian. I don't think we're quite yet a Pentecost church. I live in reality. I deal with people who are fickle, who are fallout, who do fall away. But my vision is bigger. But more importantly, my God is bigger. And the Holy Spirit, as he fills us, will enable us to be that Pentecost church. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. I asked Rhonda, who's down with COVID, who can't be here. I said to her, I want you to choose the most joyous, celebratory song that we know, because I want to get everyone dancing. I want to get everyone singing. I want the people on the street looking in at the joy in this place. But ultimately, that's not a joy that can come from your situation or your circumstances or the way you feel now. And that's why before we sing this, You need to find the joy in the Holy Spirit. And as Tracy said, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us. So you may have had a really tough week. You may really feel down. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit will fill you with joy. You may be really happy and joyous. Can I tell you, you still need to be filled with the Spirit of joy. Because that joy will fade and is fickle and won't last into the week. Let me pray and then we're going to sing. And I would love that joy of the Holy Spirit to bubble over this morning. To bubble over. And you may never have danced in church before. I'm praying the Holy Spirit will make you dance in church. You may never have lifted your hands in church. I'm praying that you'll be so full of joy you'll do that. If you want to do the Congo, go for it. I don't mind. Whatever it is that the Spirit's joy causes you to do. If you want to go and put right a relationship, if you want to go and hug someone, I don't care. Just let the joy fill this place. Not your joy, not my joy. But the joy in the Holy Spirit, that we may be the Pentecost church. But I'm going to pray first for my brothers and sisters in Ukraine. That they all know that joy. And then I'll pray for us. Lord Jesus, we are a worldwide church, and I pray for my brothers and sisters who their outward circumstances are horrific. And particularly my brothers and sisters in Ukraine, in eastern Ukraine. I pray on this Sunday morning, however they are gathering, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and they will be full of joy. Lord, in many respects, our life is so easy, but we are still so spiritually heavy in this place. Lord, I want to be a Pentecost Christian, a Pentecost church, who knows what I believe, who know where I belong, but also who knows the joy of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you had Jesus promised that if we ask you for the Holy Spirit, you will give it to us. And so as pastor of this church this morning, I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. And may there be joy in this place as you build your kingdom here.